Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Here's a figure I found quite surprising. 12% of the population have some type of food allergy or intolerance. So what are the signs to look out for and how do you get a diagnosis? With me now to answer all of your food allergy related questions is Louise Reynolds, registered dietitian with the Irish Nutrition and Dietetic Institute. Louise, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Philip.
First off, what is a food allergy?
Well, a food allergy is really, it occurs when your body reacts to a food incorrectly. So the body thinks, oh, there's some harm coming from this food. It generally is reacting to a protein in that food. So your body then begins to kind of mount an immune response to the food. And this is usually the release of something called histamine. And people might be familiar with an antihistamine, a tablet you might take and get in the pharmacy, which you take to counteract maybe a swelling or if somebody has hives or, you know, it's to reduce the reaction. So it's basically an immune response that your body is, you know, treating something which is quite healthy, quite a normal food, but in that individual, the body is responding to it as if it's something it needs to fight.
So is a food allergy then specifically an inflammatory response of the body and is feeling nauseous or feeling bloated something else?
No, they can also be involved. So it is really our immune system can react in so many different ways, Philip. But very often the common symptoms would be the swelling that people might feel around their lips or their face or their eyes, because they would be kind of the closest area to where the food is being taken in through the mouth. But also people may feel vomiting very suddenly or tummy pain. It usually has quite a quick onset. So it might be very quick, within maybe 30 minutes, or it can also be, you know, a little bit later in the day. But then if you're talking about an intolerance, and that's where people can kind of get a little bit confused. And you mentioned that figure of 12%, which you found surprising. So it's just a little bit over 1 in 10 of the population. But of that, about 3 to 5% are a true allergy. And the rest would be an intolerance. So, you know, it's between 3 and 5% of the population have a true allergy where the immune system is responding. And that's why it is important to get it medically diagnosed so people know what they're dealing with and they don't need to avoid foods unnecessarily.
Okay. And are the symptoms for an intolerance, Louise, excuse me interrupting you, but do they exist on the same spectrum as the symptoms for an allergy, or are they a distinct and different set of things?
Well, some of them could cross over, but you tend to, with an intolerance, you tend not to get the swelling. Very often they can come on more slowly. They tend to be things like bloating. So it's when the food gets further down your digestive system. So if people think of, you know, your mouth right through, all the way through your stomach, and then the large intestine, which is like tubes and tubes of intestine that we have, very often it is by the time the food gets there, it may cause a problem. So bloating and pain, that can be associated with an intolerance to a food. So it can be a little bit confusing. I understand that people are confused about, you know, all of the problems that can occur. But I think what's important is that you go and have it medically diagnosed with a regulated test. Because again, some people might be tempted to, you know, kind of buy a test or have something and pay a lot of money to send away tests and things like that. And really, the health Products Regulatory Authority, the HPRA, they very recently came out and said that there is no scientific evidence for a lot of these.
Indeed.
Kind of
we'll come on to the woo tests and some of the nonsense that is out there in a moment. But if you suspect that you have an allergy of some sort, how important is it to keep on consuming the thing which you suspect you're having a reaction to while you're getting tested?
Well, that would be very important if it's celiac disease. So celiac disease is a reaction that the body is reacting to gluten, which is found, and people now are hearing a lot about gluten-free, and there's a whole range of gluten-free products now available. However, a true celiac disease is when the body is reacting to gluten and gluten must be taken out of the diet. Now, the problem with that is if somebody feels very unwell, gluten is usually found in bread and wheat products. So again, things like pasta, which is made from wheat and bread. So somebody who is feeling unwell, they might have bloating, they also might have pain, they may have some diarrhea symptoms. But if somebody feels that they have a reaction, they need to keep consuming that food while the test is done, because if you stop eating the foods containing gluten, you will feel really well. But then when you go for the test, that particular test, if you don't have gluten in your diet, the test will come up as a negative test. Now, the problem with that is, of course, if somebody stops eating the gluten in their food, they feel really well. And then if you say to them as the GP or as the dietitian, well, now you have to go back to eating gluten containing foods before we do the test, people will say, no way, you know, I feel so well. And the reason for that is that celiac disease is, there are lots of other conditions that are linked with that. So, you know, it's important that it is medically diagnosed, because somebody with celiac disease might also need to look after their bone health, their heart health. They may have fertility issues that they need to, you know, deal with as well. So there are lots of other conditions in around celiac disease. Yeah. So it's important. But obviously, if you have a reaction to something like a nut, you don't keep eating the nuts until you are medically diagnosed. If somebody, you know, has a swelling around their mouth and they go to get their allergy test, well, then you avoid those foods until you're tested. So it's quite different. It's quite different for celiac disease in particular.
There are, as you say, Louise, a wide range of gluten-free products unavailable on the shelves now.
Yes.
Because you hear an awful lot of people talking about or seem to believe that these things are more healthy for them, can you nail this one on the head for us? Is there any health benefit from consuming gluten-free products if you are not a celiac?
No.
Full stop, so, end of conversation.
Yeah, now, okay, I said that very definitely no. However, there are some people who have a non-gluten celiac sensitivity. So there will be a very small percentage of the population who react to gluten, but when they're medically tested, they do not have celiac disease. So there are a small group of people who may feel better. However, a lot of the gluten-free foods will have a similar calorie content. They will have a similar, you know, range of other nutrients in the foods. So there's no benefit for changing over if you don't have any symptoms to a regular food. If you don't feel bloating after eating wheat containing foods, there is no health benefit. So they're not healthier for you. But if you don't, you know, if you do feel unwell and then you change over to a gluten-free food and you notice the difference, then that's okay to stick with those foods. And I think that is really the issue. A lot of people go for these tests and in fact, they kind of feel fine. They might just feel a bit tired, or they might just think, oh, I'll just have this test done. But if you don't have any symptoms, then you don't really need to be worrying about food allergy. You know, people who have a true medically diagnosed allergy, they will know about it and they will go for the test. And when they avoid those foods, they will feel a lot better and they won't have the reactions. And that's, you know, obviously worth following up. But, you know, and particularly we hear a lot about children. If children can grow out of allergies, but the most common allergies of the first few years of life would be milk, eggs and peanuts. And children may grow out of the milk and the egg allergies. They tend not to grow out of peanut allergies or fish allergies, shellfish and fish allergies. But they would be, it's very important that the parents who are concerned would go to their doctor. Just don't go to an online test, or don't buy, you know, kind of a test.
Let's talk about those now, because I see increasing numbers of tests being offered on social media and elsewhere. Kinesiology tests, hair analysis tests. Vega testing. I mean, any of these have any evidential based value at all?
No, there's no scientific basis or a proven role for hair analysis or any of those tests you've mentioned. And one of the ones is, so when I mentioned the allergy, the true allergy earlier on, and we were talking about the body's response, your body they are IgE mediated. So basically that just means that the immunoglobulin or the compound that's released is called IgE. And a lot of these tests that you send away for, they're measuring IgG. So they're measuring a different component. And what they really are measuring is an exposure to the food. So for example, in the previous 2 to 3 weeks before you go for one of these tests or send away for one of these tests, if you've eaten that food, it will show up as being present in your blood. But it's not showing up that you have an allergy to it or a response to it. It just shows that you've eaten the food. So, you know, it's very, that's very different.
Can I simplify this then? Would it be fair to say, and people can say, of course, you're a dietitian, so of course you would answer yes to this question. But would it be fair enough to simplify all of this by saying you should only be getting a food allergy test that has been administered by your GP or by a dietitian?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And by your GP, you know, go to the GP first and then to follow the diet. If you are diagnosed, go and see a registered dietitian. Don't just follow something online, because the thing is, a registered dietitian will tailor it to the kind of foods that you or your child actually likes eating and will eat. So, you know, that's really, really important. There's no point in getting some kind of very elaborate diet off the internet and you realize, oh, well, actually, I don't like any of those foods, or they're very expensive foods, or they're not foods that I can get very easily. So it's really important that it's, you know, specific for the person who is suffering from the food allergy, because the last thing anybody wants, Philip, is to spend your life avoiding foods and having to check food labels. It can be a real nuisance. And I think anybody who really does have a medically diagnosed food allergy, they would love not to have that allergy, and they would love to be able to just go into any restaurant or go into a shop and buy foods freely without checking labels or without asking questions. So it is, you know, it is something, again, it's only 12% of the population who have an allergy or an intolerance. So it's not a huge number. And really, you know, just check out if you do feel there's a problem there, check out a food diary or keep a food diary. That's writing down everything that you have eaten. And then go and check with your GP and say, look, these are my symptoms when I eat these foods. And then you can take it from there. So it's really important that it's medically diagnosed.
And Louise, what is an elimination diet and how difficult are they to devise, number one, and also to follow?
Yeah, they're quite difficult. So an elimination diet is, as it sounds, you're eliminating the foods that you suspect as causing the allergy. So that would be administered with the GP and a registered dietitian. And again, the idea is that you might be, in some cases, children would be admitted to hospital and then they could be re-challenged with the food in a safe hospital environment. Now, this is, of course, if we're talking about the severe food allergy, and people may have heard of anaphylaxis, which is when the body goes into shock and it can be very, very serious. So, you know, in that case, you really need to make sure that you're avoiding all of the offending food. So, you know, it's quite different if somebody feels a little bit of bloating after they've eaten something compared to somebody who might have a very serious and life-threatening reaction. So elimination diets are really where the foods are taken out. But of course, then you need to make sure that you're making up for all of the nutrients that have been taken out of the diet. So it's, you know, there's a lot of information in there, but I would just say the kind of takeaway message for people is it's a small enough number of the population, just over 1 in 10. Do go to a GP and have a registered dietitian check it out. You don't want people avoiding foods unnecessarily.
Quick question from a texter. I'm a man in my 30s. I suffer from IBS. Is that an allergy or an intolerance or something else? Sugar and alcohol seem to exacerbate it.
Yes. So no, it's not an allergy, but it is truly a condition that affects a lot of people. And when he's mentioned there, the alcohol and sugars, they can be a problem. So I would suggest that he would go to see a registered dietitian who specializes in that area, because again, not every dietitian specializes in everything. So if he wants to check out on the INDI website, and we have a list of find a dietitian. And also there is an event tomorrow, Philip, that I just wanted to mention to people, an online virtual event. And actually, when you were speaking to Dr. Creed, earlier, one of your listeners asked about protein for teenagers. And in fact, we have in this event tomorrow, we have Dr. Sharon Madigan. She is actually the dietitian with the Olympic team. She'll be heading off to Tokyo in a few weeks. Yeah. And she is actually talking about sports nutrition. So if people want to, and there's also, we have a talk on allergy, and people can log on through our website.
nutritionandyou.vfairs.com. nutritionandyou.vfairs.com. Louise Reynolds, thank you very much. I have to take my final break.
Today with Clareburn. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.